want to welcome you all back to the firsts. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We continue now with another companion whose life intersects with the battle of Al-Yamama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the shuhada amongst them in Uhud and Yamama and beyond, as well as our own shuhada. Allahumma ameen. A question that I was asked is, why are we talking about some of the firsts now? And the reality is that there are so many sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we could go on, and we could dig into different episodes and highlight them. And so some of the people that we are speaking about in these few weeks are actually some of the first Muslims. But it gives us insight, inshallah ta'ala, into a very unique dimension of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So last week we talked about Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just a small note, because I forgot to mention it last week in the story of Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As I mentioned, that he and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu were actually brothers from the same mother. They had the same mother. May Allah be pleased with them both. And it's really, subhanAllah, something when you think about it. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu was also someone who was known for his eloquence, a poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who died as a shaheed. And here you have his brother, Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, the spokesperson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who also dies with courage as a martyr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them. Allahumma ameen. But there's something about what was nurtured into those two men and these similar characteristics. And that's something very beautiful about the Sahaba, is that they rubbed off on each other in very beautiful ways. And the man that we are talking about today, he shows up very few times in the books of Sirah, because he was not survived by any children that would go on to narrate his story, and his story is often tied to another companion of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning you rarely find him being discussed alone, but when you combine the virtues of this man, you would wonder, subhanAllah, what is his status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And his name is Abbad ibn Bishr ibn Waqsh ibn Zughba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah introduces him, Al-Imam Abu al-Rabi', the Imam Abu al-Rabi' al-Ansari al-Ashhali, meaning from Banu Abd al-Ashhal, Ahad al-Badriyin. He was one of the people of Badr, wa kana min sadat al-Aws, and he was one of the leaders of the Aws tribe. So by now this should come very natural to you. The two main tribes of the Ansar are Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. So he is one of the leaders of Al-Aws, and he is from the tribe of Banu Abd al-Ashhal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abbad ibn Bishr, you might have only heard this name because Sheikh Muhammad al-Shanawi is Abu Abbad. So it's a shout out to him and to his family as well. So hopefully more people will name their sons Abbad after this lecture, inshallah ta'ala. So we know of him, and he has a sister whose name is Umama bint Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anha. So him and his sister are both considered from the early Muslims, and his sister is married to Mahmud ibn Maslama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So a little bit of the tree again. Abbad ibn Bishr and his sister Umama bint Bishr. Umama bint Bishr is married to Mahmud ibn Maslama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the brother of Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Okay? Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you can connect those things. So that would make him the brother-in-law of Mahmud ibn Maslama. May Allah be pleased with him. And his brother, Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, who we spoke about in great detail about a month or so ago. So how early is the Islam of Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu, and what is his story? Where does he shine in the seerah most? First and foremost, he is one of those who converted at the da'wah of Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But his conversion is so early that he converted to Islam, or he accepted Islam, before Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So if you go back to when we started this set of companions, we talked about the Ansar and the first Ansar. So he's actually in the first of the first Ansar before Usayd ibn Hudayr and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, and that's why Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah has his short entrance of him in Sirah Alam al-Nubula, in his collection, before Usayd ibn Hudayr رضي الله تعالى عنه, who was a far more famous Ansari from the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he's an early, early Muslim. He witnessed the da'wah of Mus'ab ibn Umair, and he fell in love with particularly the Qur'an through Mus'ab ibn Umair. So everything about the life of Abad ibn Bishr has to do with the Qur'an. He saw Mus'ab ibn Umair, he heard him recite the Qur'an, he memorized everything that Mus'ab had taught him of the Qur'an, and when the Prophet ﷺ made his way to Medina, Abad already memorized everything of the Qur'an that was in al-Medina. So it kind of gives you a bit of his personality. Anything of the Qur'an that was given to the people of Medina, Abad was a hafiz of it up until that point, before the Prophet ﷺ comes to al-Medina. Now, because I like to give some of the background just to help us understand al-Medina a little bit more, the tribe that he's from, Banu Abdul Ashhal, which is a sub-tribe of Aus, in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الْأَنصَارِ بَنُوا عَبْدِ الْأَشْهَلِ. The best of the Ansar is Banu Abdul Ashhal. This is considered the best tribe of the Ansar. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ seemed to privilege Banu Najjar, which are his uncles, his maternal uncles sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way the scholars reconcile the two narrations, they say that it may be that Banu Abdul Ashhal is the best of Aus, and Banu Najjar is the best of Khazraj. And the Prophet ﷺ was saying that the two of them, right, make up the best tribes of the Ansar, and the Prophet ﷺ said, and all of the Ansar are khair. All of the Ansar are great, right? So when he points to this, the Prophet ﷺ is merely saying that the most righteous of companions will be found amongst these two tribes. To get a little bit deeper, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. There are three men from the Ansar. لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ يَعْتَدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ فَضْلًا. No one is equal to these three men in virtue. It's a heavy statement. Aisha radiallahu anha says, three men from the Ansar that surpass everyone. And she said, كُلُّهُمْ مِنْ بَنِي عَبْدِ الْأَشْهَلِ. All three of them are from the same tribe of Bani Abdul Ashhal. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Abbad ibn Bishr, and Usayd ibn Hudayr. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Usayd ibn Hudayr, and Abbad ibn Bishr. In the words of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with them all, these are the three best men of the Ansar. Some of you are like, well, but you said this person is the best man of the Ansar. That's the point of fala'il, that in virtues, that sometimes when these people are praised, you think they're the most important companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, in their own rights, they occupy a certain place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it's narrated, one last narration about Banu Abdul Ashhal, the superior tribe of the Ansar, is that it just so happens that their masjid is still preserved. And so if you can actually show it on the screen, inshallah ta'ala, the remains of their masjid is still preserved. Oh, that's the wrong picture. That's the one. Okay. Their masjid is still preserved in Medina Munawwara, subhanAllah. So this is the Musalla, the masjid of Banu Abdul Ashhal. And basically, the tribes used to have their own masjid. And oftentimes, the Prophet ﷺ will go out to one of the masajid and lead the people in salah as he goes out to visit that tribe. You also would have sometimes a companion who would pray with the Prophet ﷺ in Masjid Nabawi and then go back and lead their people in salah. So the imam of Banu Abdul Ashhal in this masjid is Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what is narrated is that the Prophet ﷺ once went out to pray Salat al-Maghrib with Banu Abdul Ashhal. So sometimes the Prophet ﷺ will go out to them and pray in their musallas. And as he prayed with them, Salat al-Maghrib, immediately afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَآهُمْ يُسَبِّحُونَ بَعْدَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them praying extra salawat after the fard prayer, meaning they were praying some of their sunan and nawafil in the masjid after the fard salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَذِهِ صَلَاتُ الْبُيُوتِ, that these extra prayers are to be prayed at home. Which is one of the ways in which the Prophet ﷺ demonstrates the superiority of nawafil at home. Okay, the sunnah and the nawafil, they're better to be prayed at home, unless of course you're staying in the masjid between Maghrib and Isha, and you're gonna pray your sunnah in here and pray some of the nawafil here. But generally speaking, the superiority, because this is a sahih hadith, the superiority of the voluntary prayers at home over the masjid, this is one of the hadith that's used to describe that superiority. So that's his reputation. He is the imam. He is from the favored tribe of the Ansar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is one of the earliest Muslims, and he has an exquisite love for the Quran. Okay? So everything about him has to do with his love of the Quran. His title is either Al-Imam, so he's Al-Imam Abbad ibn Bishr, or what he's called as Sadiq al-Quran, the friend of the Quran. What a beautiful name to have. He's Sadiq al-Quran, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet ﷺ paired him off with Abu Hudhayfa ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'a, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from the Muhajireen. And their house was known to be a house in which the turns of Qiyam were being taken. So the brothers are reading Quran throughout the night, because Abu Hudhayfa is also distinguished by his love for the Quran. So they're reading their Quran throughout the night. And then of course you can factor in, though it's not explicitly mentioned, Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, the best friend of Abu Hudhayfa, and who would become like his son, Salim radiallahu anhu, and his love for the Quran as well. So it's a house of Quran, and he is Sadiq al-Quran. He narrates a single hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar, antumu shi'ar wa nasu dithar. That, O people of the Ansar, you are like the internal lining of a garment. وَالنَّاسُ الدِّثَارُ, everyone else is like the outward part of the garment. What do you think that means, by the way? What's that? That you are the closest people in the world to me. So, O Ansar, you are like the inner part of the garment, and everybody else is like the outward part of the garment. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from the inner circle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is his single narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we said, his name is Al-Imam, or his title is Al-Imam, Sadiq al-Quran, the friend of the Quran. His name Abbad, for anyone that might want to name their sons Abbad, subhanAllah, fits him perfectly. So it is Siga Mubalagha min Abada. So it's an intense worshiper. So it refers to intense worship. And everything about him, every incident with him, and we're going to start going through them, has to do with his intense devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal and his intense worship. So let's go through the narrations, inshallah ta'ala. And every single story has something beautiful and miraculous about it as it relates to him. The first narration is narrated on Abbad ibn Abdullah ibn Zubair. Abbad, the son of Abdullah ibn Zubair. So you already noticed something. Abdullah ibn Zubair named his son Abbad after Abbad ibn Bishr. And that son is narrating a story about Abbad ibn Bishr. So, an Abbad ibn Abdullah ibn Zubair, an Aisha. And she was the aunt of Abdullah ibn Zubair. May Allah be pleased with them all. Qalat, tahajjada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi bayti. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying Qiyamul Layl, he was praying tahajjud in my house at night. فَسَمِعَ صَوْتَ عَبَّادِ بْنِ بِشْرِ. And the Prophet ﷺ heard, while he was praying Qiyam, the voice of Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The implication is that he was praying in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ turned to me as he was admiring the voice of Abbad ibn Bishr and said, Ya Aisha, O Aisha, do you know whose voice that is? Because he had a beautiful voice of the Qur'an. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, who is it, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ said, this is the voice of Abbad ibn Bishr. This is the voice of my companion, Abbad ibn Bishr. Allahumma arham Abbad, Allahumma aghfir lahu. That is Abbad ibn Bishr. O Allah, have mercy on Abbad. O Allah, forgive Abbad. Okay, so this is the first narration. The Prophet ﷺ, impressed by his qiyam, loving the recitation of the Qur'an, when the Prophet ﷺ hears his recitation, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ stops and pays attention to his recitation. Now again, subhanAllah, you pay attention to the narrator, and we'll come back to this. Abbad ibn Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abbad, the son of Abdullah ibn Zubair, He says about him, ما سماني أبي عبادا إلا به. My father did not name me Abad except because of him. Meaning I was named after Abad ibn Bishr by my father, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. May Allah be pleased with him. And we'll come back to this inshallah ta'ala at the end of the lecture, because there's something special about that as well. So that's the first narration that we have about him. The second narration is a narration from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that one night, two companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to sit with him at night. And after they sat with him, and the implication is that they prayed with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they asked him for something, but the point is that they're with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the quiet of the night. They went out. خَرَجَ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُظْلِمَةٍ وَمَعَهُمَا مِثْلُ الْمِصْبَاحَيْنِ. They left from the Prophet ﷺ on this extremely dark night, and they were accompanied by what appeared to be two lamps. So two lights that were in front of each of them. يُضِيَانِ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمَا, and they were lighting everything that was in front of them. So it was like there were two lights in front of each of them as they were leaving the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and each one of them had their own light. فَلَمَّا افْتَرَقَ صَارَ مَعْ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا وَاحِدٌ حَتَّى أَتَى أَهْلَهُ. And then once they parted from each other, the light went with each of them until they ended up at their family homes. Now obviously, subhanAllah, this is very much so resembling of what the Prophet ﷺ mentions of the Day of Judgment. Give glad tidings to those who walk at night to the masajid بِنُورٍ تَامَةٍ, with a long stretching light on the Day of Judgment. So the light on the Day of Judgment, may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us that light, the light of wudu, the light of qiyam, the light of walking to the masajid that night, which was their situation at that time. But in this situation, these two men, Anas radiallahu anhu said, were Abbad ibn Bishr and Usayd ibn Hudayr, may Allah be pleased with them. And the implication is once again that the dhikr that they had in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, that light Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, either an angel or a miracle otherwise, with each of them as they went to visit the Prophet ﷺ and as they came out with the Prophet ﷺ. And it was said that the light on the stick of Abbad, so he had a staff that he was using, never really went away. So they used to call him the possessor of Al-Asa, the stick that is mudi'ah, that is lit up, right? So whatever light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, it stays with him, either that night or slightly beyond. His most famous story, and this is my favorite story of Abad and one of my favorite stories, subhanAllah, of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. And it contains a miracle. There was an expedition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out on called Dhatul Riqa'. Dhatul Riqa'. And we could talk about this expedition in many ways because there are many miracles that happen on this expedition in different ways. Dhatul Riqa'. And it was a difficult expedition with the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. So one of the assassination attempts on the Prophet ﷺ took place in Dhatul Riqa', where he was apprehended alayhi salatu wasalam as he was laying under a tree by Ghawrath ibn al-Harith. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him a miracle that prevented him from being assassinated on that particular journey. But the Prophet ﷺ was leaving Dhatul Riqa', leaving this particular expedition. And it was late night, and the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَجُلًا يَكْلَأُنَا لَيْلًا, which amongst you is going to watch us for the night? أَوْ يَحْرِسُنَا, who's going to be our guard for the night? Because it was time to sleep. So Abbad and Ammar ibn Yasir, may Allah be pleased with them both, they stood up and they volunteered to protect the Muslims that particular night. And some of the books say that Abbad and Ammar, at some point there was mu'akha between them as well. So they were brothers as well from the Ansar of the Muhajireen. But these two men, both courageous, both loved the Qur'an, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we will do it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, go to the tip of the valley and spend the night at the tip of the valley watching for any attackers at night. So Abbad and Ammar go to the tip of the valley. And Abbad says to Ammar, let's split the night because we're going to need to sleep. We can't stay up all night. So he said, أَتُرِيدُ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلَ الْأَوَّلْ وَأَكْفِيكَ آخِرَهُ? Would you like the first half of the night and then I will take care of the next half? أَمْ تُرِيدُ آخِرَهُ وَأَكْفِيكَ أَوَّلَهُ? Or do you want to take the second half and I'll take care of the first half? Meaning he's telling Ammar ibn Yasir, choose which part of the night you'd like to sleep and I'll take that shift, inshallah ta'ala, to protect us from any type of attackers. And it was still a very volatile situation, so an attack is likely. It's not an easy situation here. So Ammar ibn Yasir said, you take the first half and I'll take the second, meaning you be on guard the first half, I'll sleep, and I'll take the second. So Ammar ibn Yasir went to sleep right next to Abbad ibn Bishr, and Abbad ibn Bishr is in charge of watching through the night. And subhanAllah, it was a beautiful night, and he's out in the valley and he's looking at these surroundings and the calmness of the night. And Abbad did what he always does. He went into his qiyam. So he started to pray. So just imagine the Prophet ﷺ and his companions are asleep away from the valley or further in. Abbad is all alone praying his qiyam, and Ammar ibn Yasir is asleep next to him. And Abbad starts to recite. He reads Surah Al-Fatiha. And then after Surah Al-Fatiha, he started to read some other parts of the Qur'an. And in particular, what's narrated is Surah Al-Kahf. So just picture the scene of this lonely companion, Ammar asleep next to him, and he's reading Surah Al-Kahf. And then as he is reading Surah Al-Kahf, he gets struck by an arrow right in his midsection. So there's an attacker, and it's a single attacker. He doesn't stop reading. He pulls the arrow out, puts it down next to him, and he goes back to Salah. The man hits him from a distance with another arrow, and he's still reading, and the blood is coming down from him. He pulls out the arrow, puts it down, and he's a little weaker now, but he keeps reading Surah Al-Kahf. But then he goes into ruku'. He gets up from his ruku', and he gets hit by a third arrow in his back. Pulls out the third arrow, puts it next to him, and he goes into sujood. And when he goes down for sujood, he puts his hand on Ammar to kind of wake him up, to shake him, to get up and to pursue the man or to help out. And then, as he's soaked in blood, he finishes his salah and he shakes Ammar ibn Yasir and he says, قُمْ لِلْحِرَاسَةِ مَكَانِي فَقَدْ أُصِبْتُ. Stand up and guard in my place because I was struck. Ammar ibn Yasir wakes up and he sees Abbad covered in blood and three arrows on the ground next to him. So Ammar ibn Yasir immediately goes to pursue the man that shot the arrows, and by the time he went to pursue him, the man had fled back to the camp of Dhat al-Riqa. When Ammar comes back to Abbad and he sees him covered in blood and trying to treat his wounds and the three arrows next to him, he says, Subhanallah, halla aiqadtani awwala ma rumit. Said, you know, why didn't you just wake me up the first time you were struck? Subhanallah, why did you wait until you got hit with three arrows? And Abbad radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, كُنْتُ أَتْلُو فِي صَلَاتِ آيَاتٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَلَأَتْ نَفْسِي رَوْعَةً. He said that I was reading some verses from the Qur'an that completely filled me with awe. فَلَمْ أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْطَعَهَا وَوَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ أُضَيِّعَ ثَغْرًا أَمَرَنِ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِحِفْظِهِ لَآثَرْتُ الْمَوْتَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ تِلْكَ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي كُنْتُ أَتْلُوهَا. He said, I swear by Allah that had I not feared giving up the position the Prophet ﷺ told me to hold, I would have continued to read the Qur'an until the man killed me. Basically, my idea of rushing the salah was to finish it a little bit quicker. But he said, I was enjoying my salah so much, and I was enjoying the ayat I was reading so much from Surah Al-Kahf, that if the Prophet ﷺ would have allowed me, or if I wasn't afraid of giving up the territory that the Prophet ﷺ had commanded me to hold, then I would have simply allowed myself to die, and I would not have finished reading the Quran until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took my life away from me, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so this is considered the most famous incident of two brothers who loved the Quran, two brothers who were watching and protecting the back of the Muslims on that particular night, and a man who truly was Sadiq al-Quran, a man who truly was a friend of the Quran, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On top of that, the Prophet ﷺ noted him for his courage. And so he was someone that participated in the Battle of Badr. He was someone that participated in the assassination of Ka'b ibn Ashraf. If you remember, in the story of Muhammad ibn Maslama, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who we now know as a relative of Abbad ibn Bishr, radiallahu anhu, Abbad was one of the men who went with Muhammad ibn Maslama, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to kill Ka'b ibn Ashraf, who of course was one of the prime instigators against the Prophet ﷺ. He participates in Uhud, he participates in Khandaq, and he participates in every battle alongside the Prophet ﷺ. And he's one of the few companions that the Prophet ﷺ used in multiple capacities, all in terms of amana and protecting the state. So Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah says that the Prophet ﷺ used him ala sadaqati Muzayna wa bani Sulaym. The Prophet ﷺ sent him as a charity collector, as the zakat collector from Banu Sulaym and Banu Muzayna. And in both situations, he stayed for 10 days and he carried out the mission as the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to carry out the mission. The Prophet ﷺ sent him to Banu Mustalik to collect their charity, their zakat. He stayed for 10 days and he came back to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ appointed him as a distributor of the spoils of the Battle of Hunayn. So after the Battle of Hunayn, after Fatih Mecca, he was the one that distributed the spoils, which requires a lot of trust from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and integrity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him his own guard, his own haris in the famous Battle of Tabuk. So for 20 days, he was watching the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and watching the back of the Muslims while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in that very difficult expedition of Tabuk, which we've spoken about many times. And then finally, where we find the story of Abbad radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in the Battle of Al-Yamama, in the Battle of Yamama. So that's where we come to today, and it always becomes sort of that final point in the Battle of Yamama. After the Prophet ﷺ passes away, Abbad continues as an imam, he continues as a reciter of the Qur'an, he continues as a trustee of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And on that day, Abbad was leading a large group of the Ansar. And present as well was of course his brother, Abu Hudayfa ibn Utba ibn Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he has a very particular dream. Now subhanAllah, before I share his dream, I'm going to remind you of someone else's dream on the Battle of Yamama. Because you start to see a connection here where many of the companions dreamt of their martyrdom before their martyrdom actually happened, right? And one of those dreams was the dream of Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And if you remember, if you go back to his story, Tufail radiallahu anhu had a dream that he was basically re-entering the womb of a woman. Re-entering the womb of a woman. So subhanAllah, as if backward transition into life. And when he woke up and he had this dream, Tufayl radiallahu ta'ala anhu interpreted that dream as a shahada. He interpreted it that he was going to be martyred because the shaheed is hay, the shaheed is alive. And indeed, subhanAllah, Tufayl ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be martyred. And so again, the dream of Tufayl was going back into the womb of his mother. All right? Like the womb closing in on him again, as if he has new life, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And you remember the dream of the father of Jabir ibn Abdullah the night before Uhud. So these dreams are significant that the companions would have before these battles. As for Abbad, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great companions who we've spoken about, he narrates that the night before Yamama, the Battle of Yamama, Abbad ibn Bishr said, Ya Aba Sa'id, Oh, Abu Sa'id, I saw something interesting last night. قال رأيت الليلة كأن السماء قد فرجت ثم أطبقت علي. He said that I saw in my dream as if the heavens opened up, the skies opened up, and I was engulfed. Like imagine a door opening, a gate opening in the heavens, and I was engulfed in it, and then the door shut behind me, like the sky shut behind me. So imagine like a portal, subhanAllah. As if I elevated, I ascended into the skies, and then it closed on me. So Abbad is saying to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, فَهِيَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ الشَّهَادَةَ. InshaAllah, this means that I'm going to be martyred. So it shows you the mindset of these companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Like he's saying it with love, with devotion. And you can imagine, I mean, a man who is hamilul Qur'an, a man who holds the Qur'an so preciously, so beautifully in every way. Imagine what it was like for him to read the ayat of Shahada, right? If he's someone that contemplates upon every verse of the Qur'an and pushes himself the way that he does. So he said, InshaAllah, it is Shahada. So Abu Sa'id says, I said to him, خَيْرًا وَاللَّهِ رَأَيْتَ, that it is good that you have seen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and give you what you have envisioned. So Abu Sa'id says, so I followed him with my eyes in the battle of Yamama. I wanted to see what he was going to look like in Yamama. I mean, a man with that much conviction, certainty, what does he look like in Yamama? So he says that I saw Abbad ibn Bishr taking his horse, going between the ranks, and saying to the Ansar, أَحْطِمُوا جُوفَانَ السُّيُوفِ وَتَمَيَّزُوا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنصَارِ. Break the handles of your swords and distinguish yourselves from the people, O Ansar. Break the handles of your swords and distinguish yourselves from the people, O Ansar. Push yourself. So he was reading the Qur'an, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So you imagine a person in battle like this, and he's reading the Qur'an, and between reading the Qur'an, he's telling the people to raise their morale. Break the handles of your sword. Go forth. Fight. Distinguish yourselves from the people, O Ansar. And he said, and he would go forward. And anywhere there was a line or there was penetration in the army, Abbad ibn Bishr was at the front line. And he would say, Akhlisuna, Akhlisuna. So send reinforcements, send reinforcements. And so he ended up with 400 men of the Ansar behind him. And they were cutting through the army. And he says, Ma yukhalituhum ahad, that there is no group of people that would come in front of them or amongst them. They would not be in a situation except that Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be in the front, and with him Abu Dujana and Al-Bara' ibn Malik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. So three companions that kind of led the way on that day, or that had penetrated very far, as Abu Sa'id is narrating, Abbad ibn Bishr, Abu Dujana, and Al-Bara' ibn Malik, حَتَّ انْتَهُوا إِلَى بَابِ الْحَدِيقَةِ, until they got to the door of the garden. Of course, this is something that also would be familiar to you at this point, that Musaylim al-Kadhab had a garden, the Garden of Death, which was his innermost circle. So Abbad was one of the people who got there. فَقَاتَلُوا أَشَدَّ الْقِتَالِ, and so they fought with the most severe fighting. وَقُتِلَ عَبَّاد ibn Bishr رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ, and Abbad ibn Bishr was killed. And this is what the narration says. He says that I saw that his entire face was struck. And this is something very relevant to the moment, by the way. مَا عَرَفْتُهُ إِلَّا بِعَلَامَةٍ كَانَتْ فِي جَسَدِهِ, I did not recognize his body except by something like a mark that was there, like a birthmark or something else on his body. The bodies are mutilated, but the souls ascend. And subhanAllah, this is, you know, when we see the images from Gaza and other places of mutilated bodies, it's hard for us to try to imagine that other realm. But think about the dream that he saw the night before. It's all in the same narration, that he's ascending to the heavens and the heavens are closing on him. And then think about the image of this world where people are looking at his body and he's lost everything, or he has been mutilated to a point that you could only tell him by something that was on his body, some sort of scab or some sort of birthmark that was on his body, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. and he was only 45 years old when he was martyred, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he's one of the youth of the Ansar, or one of those people who embraced the Prophet ﷺ early on as a young man, and who lived his life with the Qur'an, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as we said, he had no sons. He did have a daughter, according to some narrations, but his line ended. And the only hadith that he narrates, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is the narration, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar, O people of the ansar, antum al-shi'ar, wal-nas al-duthar, that O ma'ashar al-ansar, O people of the ansar, you are the inner linings of the garment, and the people are the outward part of the garment, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the thing I wanted to come back to, subhanAllah, because this is the first, and because we're talking about the image that these people have in our lives and how we model ourselves after them. Who was the companion that named his son after him? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. How would Abdullah ibn Zubayr die? Not just as a martyr. SubhanAllah, you have that incident of Abbad ibn Bishr getting struck by the arrows, removing the arrows but not breaking his salah. And the most famous thing about Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who we haven't done our own full episode on, we've talked about him in the context of his parents, was that when he was martyred radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he was praying next to the Kaaba, when he was firebombed and when they came and they struck him from every direction, he did not leave his salah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so he was martyred refusing to leave his prayer radiallahu ta'ala anhu in front of the Kaaba. Doesn't it strike, subhanAllah, something very beautifully, that the man that he loved from the Sahaba was Abbad ibn Bishr, to the point that he named his son Abbad. And here he was, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honoring him to leave the world in that same beautiful, momentous way in his salah as a martyr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that same certainty, to grant us that same ability to see the Qur'an through all things, to connect to the Qur'an through all things. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on our shuhada and to grant us as well the reward of a shahada. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll go ahead and I'll take a few questions bidnillahi ta'ala. And you can ask questions about Abbad or any other one of the recent companions. Yeah. So the famous assassination attempt is Ghawrath ibn al-Harith. Ghawrath ibn al-Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I say radiallahu anhu because the Prophet ﷺ spared him. It was in this journey that Ghawrath, basically the Prophet ﷺ was sleeping under a tree and his sword was hanging up in the tree. And Ghawrath grabbed the sword and stood on top of the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Muhammad, man yamna'uka minni? O Muhammad, who will protect you from me? Who will protect you from me? So imagine the scene, the Prophet ﷺ is looking up at this man, he's got a sword standing over him, and the Prophet ﷺ looks up at him with full certainty and he says, Allah. And Ghawrath was so stunned by the certainty of the Prophet ﷺ as he was holding the sword that he dropped the sword. Then the Prophet ﷺ got up, he threw him on his back and he picked up the sword. And the Prophet ﷺ was standing over him and he said, Man yamna'uka minni al-an? Who's going to protect you from me now? So Ghawrath said, Ya Muhammad, kun khayra akhidh, be generous, let it go, please forgive me. And the Prophet ﷺ forgave him. He let him go, alayhi salatu wassalam. So this was the same journey, subhanAllah, which the ambush happened on the Prophet ﷺ after the journey, after that to Riqa' and one of those other miracles, that just from the Prophet ﷺ looking up at him and with full certainty, like not in any way moved or frightened, Allah is going to save me from you. But it shook the man. SubhanAllah, it's that same journey of yaqeen, that same journey of certainty that Abbad ibn Bishr is praying and he doesn't even feel the arrows that are striking him while he's reading the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all and send us peace and blessings on our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Yes.
Praying,
Good question. I'm glad you asked the question. So the narration about praying sunnah at home, is it permissible to pray in the masjid? If you don't think you're going to pray at home, pray in the masjid. It's permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. The Prophet ﷺ's preference was to pray them at home. But if a person knows that by the time they go home, they're not going to pray their sunnah, then pray it in the masjid. Okay? So it's better to pray them at home, and it's better to pray them at the masjid than not pray at all. Does that make sense? Jazakum Allah khair. I appreciate the clarification question. Yeah. Yeah, so in a situation, it's a good question. You see these videos, subhanAllah, of a missile hitting a masjid, a rocket hitting a masjid. Some people leave their salah and some people just stay as if nothing is happening. Or you see an earthquake hit and you see some people just remain in their salah and other people take shelter. Those that go to take shelter are not sinful at all. What they're doing is entirely permissible. So you can admire both the stillness and the calmness of those that remain in their salah, as if, even if the whole world is crumbling around them, their jannah is in their heart and there's nothing that can move them, while still saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with, you know, rescuing yourself, saving yourself, if there's fear, whatever it may be. So both of those things are true at the exact same time. And so a story like Abad ibn Bishr, you can admire it, you could derive, you know, the blessing of it, obviously, in his attachment to the Qur'an, as the friend of the Qur'an, without in any way implying that you would have to do the same thing if you were in that situation. All right, I saw one more question here, maybe? All right. Jazakumullahu khairan. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you all next week. SubhanAllah wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.